The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Fox is going to pay Dominion Voting Systems $787,500,000. Dominion's lawyer saying, quote, today represents a ringing endorsement for truth and for democracy. Fox trying to put a positive face on what can only be interpreted as one of the ugliest and most embarrassing moments in the history of journalism. Fox issued a statement saying, quote, we are pleased to have reached a settlement of our dispute with Dominion Voting Systems. We acknowledge the court's rulings finding certain claims about Dominion to be false. The settlement reflects, I'm sorry, this is going to be difficult to say with a straight face. This settlement reflects Fox's continued commitment to the highest journalistic standards. We are hopeful that our decision to resolve the dispute with Dominion amicably instead of the acrimony of a divisive trial allows the country to move forward from these issues. Unquote.
And yet Fox, what they did after the election, so egregious that this was a slam dunk. In a type of case, I just want to underline for everybody at home, it's almost impossible, I found out the hard way, to take to court and win.
Yep. I haven't been surprised by any of this, nor am I surprised by the settlement. I predicted there would be a settlement all along because Fox doesn't want to air its dirty laundry in a court case. And yes, obviously it's a big windfall for Dominion. It's chump change for Fox. They make more than $1 billion a year, their news division. And so this is a victory for Fox. They don't have to put their big stars on the stand. And they didn't even have to issue a public apology. When you guys say that they admitted that they lied, no, they didn't. I think that this is the best outcome that Fox could ever have hoped for once they got themselves into this mess.
Even though it is this astoundingly huge check, embarrassing, truly, to any organization that considers itself journalistic or pretends to be journalistic.
Oh, there's so many juicy angles to this story. How can we possibly cover them all in 55 minutes? To see Jake Tapper lecturing Fox News, making fun of Fox News. And then Fox, I mean, if you're going to fight, fight. I mean, this shows you what happens when you're just kind of half-hearted in your fight against the radical left. As I say, there's a lot to cover on today's show, and we will see if we can get to as much of it as possible over the next, 51 or 52 minutes. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show at trumpetdaily.com. You can get to the live stream of this show every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. Our email address, td@thetrumpet.com. So Dominion went after Fox News, a $1.6 billion lawsuit, because, well, the Fox hosts were lying, I guess. They had Sidney Powell on. They had Rudy Giuliani. They had Jenna Ellis. They had so many of those. And keep in mind that Donald Trump had lost the election, and there were all of these lawsuits. There were all of these hearings. And Rudy was traveling around the country. He was speaking before the legislatures in Georgia and in Arizona. I mean, that's a newsworthy event, right? But the radical left's position is that should have been completely and totally ignored. Now, the other thing that's fascinating about this is that coming out of the election, Fox, remember, had a hand in the steal. They called Arizona before the results were in. So in a lot of ways, they got what they deserved here. But then after the election, Keep in mind, Fox was trigger happy with Arizona, but then joined the mainstream media, the legacy media, for the next 5 days in not calling races like in Pennsylvania and other states where they had to go manufacture enough fake ballots to win. So that was all going on, and people, Fox viewers, were furious because they wouldn't cover the election steal. They wouldn't cover all of the fraud that was going on at that time. So then they begin to cover it. And as we now know, with the discovery in the Dominion lawsuit, some of the hosts, Tucker, Hannity, Laura Ingraham, they didn't agree with Jenna Ellis. They didn't agree with Rudy Giuliani. And so basically, this lawsuit was that Dominion claims they were defamed because, well, even these hosts were lying by having on a guest that they didn't agree with. Is that the standard now that Jake Tapper is going to abide by? Jake Tapper can never have a guest on CNN that he disagrees with. Because if we find a text from Tapper to one of his colleagues later where he says, I don't agree with that guy at all. Well, think about the size of this Pandora's box that's just been opened. You would think Donald Trump is preparing a $1.6 billion lawsuit against what, the DNC or whoever it was that promoted, including Jake Tapper, promoted the fake Russia collusion hoax, all of it. And listen, that actually affected the events that followed, all of those frauds and lies and hoaxes. In this, Dominion's worth between what, $30 and $60 million, and they just pulled in a $760 million haul. It's worth more. This settlement is worth 10 or 15 times more than Dominion. As I say, so many juicy angles. What does this say about America's litigious society? You've heard the term lawfare a lot in recent days, in recent weeks. Prepare to hear more on that front. It's war. They want to blot it out. They're using every means possible to hold on to their control, their power. If some conservative companies or groups were smart, they'd be lining up with lawsuits in red states. It's not like that's going to solve the problems of this country. But this really is, I mean, this is a huge Pandora's box. Listen to, again, to Jake Tapper as he gloats over this news. What did he call it? The greatest journalism malpractice or something in history? The fact that Fox News would have Sidney Powell on and say, all right, tell us about the machines. You think the machines had glitches? You think there was cheating through the machines? You can't report that? You can't speak that freely? You know what's amazing? And I saw this in one commentator's tweet. He said that if those hosts would have been, the irony here is if Tucker and those hosts would have been wholehearted in their coverage and agreed with those guests, well, then you've got protection from the First Amendment. As it is, Dominion's able to say, look, you had this, and this on. This message was going out, and behind the scenes, and we can see it from the text messages, Tucker and them, they didn't agree with it. And I mean, it does make Fox look dishonest. It does make it seem like, okay, to compete with OAN, to compete with Newsmax, because we're losing viewers to them, because there's a lot of viewers that think the election was stolen, we'll go ahead and talk a little bit about the stolen election. But they didn't go all in. I have the section on Gideon for my Bible study, if we have time for that later today. But again, the whole point of that, what did they start out with? 30-some thousand, and then it was whittled down to 10,000, and God kept saying, no, I want the ones who are eager to fight. And how many of them were there? 300. That's a pretty good example to point to on this point that we've made so often on this program, that it takes courage to fight for the truth. It takes courage to stand for what's right, and you've got to fight. Look at the way they fight on the radical left side of things. Look at the way these communists just are relentlessly going after their enemies and so vicious in the way that they do it. Here again is Jake Tapper from yesterday, clip 5.
Let's be clear. This is an unequivocal rebuke of Fox News, of their reporting, of their quote unquote journalism. I don't know. I'm not exactly a historian, but I don't believe I've ever seen a jury verdict or a settlement on the amount of $787 million. Now, yes, this is half of what Dominion was asking, but as you and I have discussed on air, I didn't think there was any way they would get $1.6 billion, even when they proved their case, even if they proved it overwhelmingly to a jury. Let's remember, by its own estimation, Dominion valued the entire company at somewhere between $30 and $80 million. This settlement is 10 times the value of Dominion as an entire company. That's how strong a statement this is with this number.
So that's obviously that's not Jake Tapper. That's a commentator on Tapper's show. 10 times more than the Democrats like these guys. Even Democrats were saying they're not going to Dominion's not going to be able to win this case. And yet Fox News settles. And you know what? And Sundance points this out at Conservative Treehouse. You know what's another amazingly juicy angle to this story? Is that Dominion and Fox News both agree that the election was perfect. And yet there's a $1.6 billion lawsuit involving the two parties for some reason. Is this a sickness that goes from head to toe? Everything you see about this story just proves Isaiah the prophet true. Read chapter one, sickness from head to toe. The jury, I mean, they were all set, everything. Think about the tremendous amount of waste in this as well. Think about all the angles to this story. The jury had been selected. They were ready to go. The discovery process had been happening. We've already had some of that leak out. Tucker texting this about Sidney Powell, or Hannity texting this. You got to lay off the election steal. And then they talk about the election steal, and Dominion gets them. Yeah, it's only half of what they were aiming for. But $760-some million for a company that's maybe worth $30 million total? That's I guess that passes for justice. Fox News is happy about this settlement. Why wouldn't Fox News fight this? This is from that tweet I mentioned from the commentator. Here's the reason Fox lost the lawsuit against Dominion. They didn't believe the 2020 election was stolen and communicated that to each other. Ironically, if they actually believed 2020 was rigged, they wouldn't have lost $787 million. Isn't that amazing? Just stand up for what you believe. Tell the judge, tell the jury, look, you may not agree that the election was stolen, but we have a First Amendment right to believe that and to say it even, and to report on it. And by the way, Trump had all these lawsuits going on, and you had these counting precincts that were putting boards up over the windows. You have all these affidavits of people saying there was cheating going on. You have all these 3 a.m. dumps. That's one of the funniest tweets I saw earlier this morning. This guy that said, overnight, the settlement spikes from $787 million to $1.3 billion. Making fun of the fact that that's exactly what happened on election night. Overnight. Who can forget what happened in Pennsylvania? All of those glitches in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Arizona, Georgia. So much fraud. But as far as the communist left is concerned, you can't even report on it. You cannot even have a position that would dare suggest that it was stolen. That's to be blotted out. That's the kind of dialogue that caused January 6th. And January 6th, remember, was as bad as the Civil War. These people, and then to piously preach from the soapbox, as Jake Tapper has done, for years they perpetuated lies and hoaxes, whether it's Trump-Russia collusion, whether it's January 6th, the Hunter laptop. Where are the lawsuits? Where was the lawsuit back in 2006 when CNN had this long segment on Smartmatic? You know, there's an ongoing lawsuit with Smartmatic. The trouble for Fox News is not over. But where was Smartmatic in 2006 when CNN called into question its roots It's connections. It's ties with Hugo Chavez's Venezuela. Any lawsuits that come out from that? Of course not. But if it's Fox, if you've got the communist left on your side, Fox is enemy number one. So Dominion knows. I mean, listen, this is an attorney from Dominion. See if you can, what is this? Number two, play number two.
One last thank you, which is really to all of you for being with us on this journey. We appreciate what you've done to help us and to help expose what we were able to discover over the course of this process. And so thank you, and we'll see you at the next one.
That's a Dominion attorney looking at the press pool saying, one last thank you. You traitors in the press. I added that. She says, we couldn't have done it without you. And she's absolutely right. They're together. They're one and the same. Dominion pulls in a haul at least 10 times more than its value, the value of its company. And Fox News, they send out a statement. Yeah, we're happy with this. We want to move on. Journalistic integrity, that's what we're all about. And then for Jake Tapper to say, actually, it was all about ratings. And in fact, a lot of it was probably about ratings. You know, if we're losing viewers to Newsmax, you know, maybe Tucker's people and Hannity's people are probably saying, maybe we should talk about the election steal. Maybe we should have Sidney Powell on it, at least give them their side of the story. And they did that, but you don't do that. You can't, if you're Fox News, you can't do that. If you're CNN in 2006, no problem. No problem. No lawsuits for the Russia collusion hoax. No lawsuits for the illegitimate and targeted investigation coming from Bob Mueller. Nothing there. No lawsuits for the 51 intel agents that lied about Hunter's laptop. No lawsuits for covering up the Hunter laptop story for 18 months. And that during an election cycle. No lawsuits for any of that. But here's the $1.6 billion lawsuit. And then Fox News caves in. They don't fight. They don't fight. Let's just keep Hannity's text messages concealed as best we can. Now Hannity and Tucker and them, they don't have to go to the witness stand. And we can just settle. And we can do it for half of what they were asking for. How are you damaged by $1.6 billion for something Sidney Powell believes? It's unbelievable, as I say. What does this say about the sickness, just the level of sickness in our land today? One more clip from Tapper's program yesterday, clip four.
I can only assume that Fox is cutting this check because they feared that after a jury trial, not only would they have to pay more, but it would become even more obvious that they are not a journalistic organization, that they're an organization that is just chasing ratings and viewers, and it doesn't really matter what they say, whether it's true or not, that's what their business model is.
Oh, that's rich. Coming from CNN. Coming from Jake Tapper, telling his viewers that, yeah, I guess this, I can only assume that this proves that Fox News is not a journalistic organization. It's not really reporting the news. As if CNN, news, period, is about ratings. CNN is trying to get, people on CNN have gotten fired because they can't get any viewers. And then look at all of the hoaxes and the lies that these people disseminate daily. The Washington Post, the New York Times, MSNBC, Joe Scarborough, all of them. As I say, I'll be anxious to hear when the first $1.6 billion lawsuit is filed against MSNBC or CNN for reporting the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. We'll see if it happens. A lot of people were pretty anxious to see this lawsuit play out, to see the fight continue. Of course, those on the left wanted to know what Tucker and them were texting privately. They wanted all of that discovery. Now it's settled, and now we move on. And now the radical left gets to gloat over another victory through the lawfare system, and we're supposed to just move on and pretend that Democrats have never, never, never questioned the perfect, the way that the machines operate so perfectly. Listen to this montage. It's a long one, but I had to trim it down by about 85-90%. Clip one.
Virginia just stopped using touchscreen computer voting because it's so vulnerable.
Right.
We need to look at all the voting machines. Every Secretary of State needs to be, you know, assisted in making sure that they are not being hacked and attacked.
I continue to think that our voting machines are too vulnerable.
Our researchers have repeatedly demonstrated that ballot recording machines and other voting systems are susceptible to tampering.
Even hackers with limited prior knowledge, tools, and resources are able to breach voting machines in a matter of minutes.
In 2018, electronic voting machines in Georgia and Texas deleted votes for certain candidates or switch votes from one candidate to another.
The biggest seller of voting machines is doing something that violates cybersecurity 101, directing that you install remote access software, which would make a machine like that, you know, a magnet for fraudsters and hackers.
These voting machines can be hacked quite easily.
You could easily hack into them. It makes it seem like all these states are doing different things, but in fact, three companies are controlling this.
It is the individual voting machines that pose some of the greatest risk.
There are a lot of states that are dealing with antiquated machines. Right, which are vulnerable to being hacked.
The workers were able to easily hack into an electronic voting machine. It was possible to switch votes.
43% of American voters use voting machines that researchers have found have serious security flaws, including back doors.
We know how vulnerable now our systems were. I know the hackathon that took place last year where virtually every machine was broken into fairly quickly.
I actually held a demonstration for my colleagues here at the Capitol where we brought in folks who, before our eyes, hacked election machines, those that are being used in many states.
Aging systems also frequently rely on unsupported software like Windows XP in 2000, which may not receive regular security patches and are thus more vulnerable to the latest methods of cyber attack.
In a close presidential election, they just need to hack one swing state, or maybe one or two, or maybe just a few counties in one swing state.
I'm very concerned that you could have a hack that finally went through. You have 21 states that were hacked into. They didn't find out about it for a year.
Right now, we have over a dozen states that either don't have any backup paper ballots or only have them partially. You think that our adversaries don't know what those states are? Of course they know what those states are. And if we have a close election in the general election in a presidential race and one state's out withstanding and their ballot boxes gets hacked into, their elections get hacked into, we will have absolutely no backup.
But if you're Fox News and you bring on Rudy Giuliani to say anything like what all of those Democrats said in that montage, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you nearly $1 billion because you're not being honest. You're supposed to say that 2020, with all the machines that were so vulnerable just a few months or years before that, were perfect. Everything worked perfectly. My father wrote in the January issue of The Trumpet. He said, "It's stunning how successful the devil has been in blotting out talk of election fraud in America." It's just stunning. Even Fox News caves in. As I say, at the core, Fox and Dominion are in agreement. There was no fraud. The machines worked flawlessly. Shut up and move on. And yet they give Dominion almost $800 million? Stunning. The Democrats insist there is no evidence of any wrongdoing. The media label anyone who brings it up as an election denier and an extremist. They have intimidated most of the nation into shutting up and pretending there are no problems. And tragically, shamefully, the great majority of conservative politicians and pressmen have gone right along. They're like Bill Barr. Remember how heated that exchange was between Barr and Wolf Blitzer what was that, August, September 2020? Listen, Wolf, you're playing with fire. You can't go to mail-in ballots. That's how you introduce all kinds of cheating. And then the election comes and goes, and Bill Barr says, hey, everything's perfect. We investigated everything, and it's perfect. And how dare Fox News have Rudy Giuliani on as a guest? How dare they bring on Sidney Powell? And, of course, Dominion's watching all of this and saying, man, maybe there's an opportunity here for us to increase the value of our company by 10 times. $787 million? Really? It says here, Satan has hung a curtain of fear. Those who are afraid to confront Obama in reality fear Satan the devil. Many others actually enjoy being on his team. A lot of people enjoy being on the devil's side. A lot of people enjoy saying that, yeah, of course, Trump stole it in 2016. It's no problem to say that. You're not going to be sued for that. But this, 2020 is different. I mean, that changed everything. Donald Trump changed everything in America. It says here, when he was campaigning for president in 2008, Barack Obama answered a question about how to prevent election fraud. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we have Democrats in charge of the machines. Wait a minute. What did he mean by that? Why do you need, this is the dear leader. This is Barack Hussein Obama. In 2008, he said, it helps. It helps our cause that the Democrats control the machines. Isn't that a revealing statement? Yes, Obama's very familiar with election fraud and how voting machines can be manipulated. Yes, indeed. This is why nations like France have gone to just paper ballots the day of, and then they get the count done that night. They just have election day. Look at how our elections have just been so dramatically changed in just the recent past few years. And then all these talking heads, they're telling you that all these changes just make it more and more perfect. As long as a Democrat wins, you can be sure of this. Had Trump somehow won in 2020, Jake Tapper would have a different view on the 2020 election. And so would all the rest of them that you just saw there in the montage. My father says somebody needs to take a case against the voting machines to the Supreme Court. Uh-oh, you're not supposed to say that. Words have consequences. I had one nasty viewer send me an email last night following this settlement. Better be careful. Words have consequences. What? This is America we're talking about. What a change. It's like Victor Davis Hanson said in that column I quoted from yesterday. You can hardly even recognize the country given what's happened these past 3 years. Somebody needs to take a case against the voting machines to the Supreme Court. Another tweet from a commentator said that given what Fox did on election night, calling Arizona before that it did, it deserves this outcome. It says further on, but from a legal and rule of law perspective, this is a total disaster. Fox merely did what CNN, MSNBC, The New York Times, and Washington Post do every single day. This is what the mainstream media does every single day. They're part of the problem. They're just an extension of the communist left. They're the communist left platform. They're the ones disseminating the disinformation. This is from The American Mind. It says, yesterday, National Public Radio, NPR, announced that it was leaving Twitter after the platform falsely labeled it as state-affiliated media. See, you can see why Elon Musk infuriates them. Because he, like Donald Trump, comes along, buys Twitter, loses half of its value in the process, and then says, you know what? You know what, NPR? You're fake news. You're run by the government. And then NPR gets offended by that. What are you talking about, state media? We're fair and balanced. They view themselves the way Jake Tapper views himself. This is why he can't stop laughing. Excuse me for laughing as I read this statement from Fox News. It says here, as leaving Twitter, further on, this is the same term it uses for propaganda outlets in Russia, China, and other autocratic countries, the indignant NPR huffed. Twitter CEO Elon Musk had the label changed to government funded, but this was still too much for NPR. It says further on, meanwhile, the British Broadcasting Corporation, that's the BBC, that's totally government funded too, is also throwing a hissy fit over being pasted with the same label, saying it is and always has been independent. The BBC is definitely independent, objective, above the fray. Yes, indeed. It's the same way CNN sees itself. And so when they lose control, they throw the hissy fit. When they lose control over Twitter, they throw a hissy fit. You can see why. Also complaining is Voice of America, which, despite literally being run by an arm of the U.S. federal government, the U.S. Agency for Global Media, claims that the label government-funded is potentially misleading. They're literally run by the federal government. And they don't like the label that Elon Musk gives, because it could be misleading, you see. Each outlet it maintains claims it maintains editorial independence from the state, despite receiving government funding, and so doesn't deserve to be called state affiliated. They're very sensitive. When you say they're biased, when you say they're liberal left-wing hacks, they get very sensitive and defensive. But it's no problem for them to defame Fox News, as they do on a day-by-day basis. For 7 years, they've gone after Donald Trump. They've attacked Donald Trump with lies and deception. And not a one of them has been held to account, as I said. There's still more to come as far as Fox is concerned. Fox News from the Washington Post. Fox News legal troubles related to the 2020 presidential election are far from over. The media company also faces a $2.7 billion defamation lawsuit filed by another voting technology company, Smartmatic. $2.7 billion. How much is Smartmatic worth? They're just a software producer. $2.7 billion. See, the sharks can smell the blood in the water, and so they're going after Fox. Fox is the single greatest purveyor of disinformation in the world. So there's a lot of judges and juries, I'm sure, that would happily punish Fox News and no one else. Dual standard of justice, dual standard of litigation, dual standards of just about everything in the United States. Play that Hillary Clinton clip. I think this was her in Belfast the other day, clip 8.
Donald Trump is running for president while under criminal mm-hmm. indictment. Mm-hmm. This the man who back in 2016 mm-hmm. consistently accused you of law-breaking mm-hmm. and actively encouraged Chance of lock her mm-hmm. up, directed at you. It's pretty ironic, isn't it, that he is now a former president that could face mm-hmm. a jail term. How does it make you feel?
Well, I always thought about him, and if you follow him, I think you can see it as well. He accuses people of doing things he himself is doing. It's a form of psychological projection, and I always thought that his record in business in particular, but then as we saw him in politics and government, he was someone who cared nothing about rules, he cared nothing about the law.
She always thought this, you see, which is, of course, why when he was on The Apprentice, before he ever ran for office, it's why that she, you know, assiduously courted him and his contributions and invited him to weddings and things of that nature. These people are liars. I always thought, I mean, really, it's just psychological projection. He's guilty of everything he accuses you of. It's exactly the opposite. The truth is exactly the opposite of what she's saying. And she even lies about her personal beliefs regarding Donald Trump. His business practices? Where's the proof of this? They talk on and on about evidence. There's no evidence of that. There's no evidence of any wrongdoing here. Where's the evidence that he's a corrupt businessman? Leave aside his office as president or his time as president. Where's the evidence? You have one, even the bookkeeping charge, that's regarding campaign financing, so that's tied to the 2016 election, right? Where's all, they have got his tax returns, they've got everything about this man. I know there's other investigations in Georgia. The DOJ is going to certainly unload something on Trump because that's the objective, get Trump. And then she sits there and says, yeah, he's been breaking rules. He doesn't obey the law. And really, what he accuses you of, that's what he's guilty of. It's especially rich, as I say, coming from her. Jonathan Turley had a piece about the Biden crime family. I played the clip for you yesterday from Jim Comer, where he says, the Biden net that's just scooping up all of these millions from China and elsewhere, America's adversary. It's actually wider than we thought. There's now 9 family members that are taking in money from the CCP that are being paid by the CCP. This is from the Conservative Brief. Hunter's problems continue to get worse. It says during the 2012, well, it talks about how that Joe Biden all through the campaign said, hey, I don't know anything about my son's business dealings. Haven't met with any of his partners. Don't know this guy. Don't know that guy. It says here, 4 business partners, a vice president, and 2 assistants at Hunter Biden's now defunct firm visited the White House more than 80 times when his father was vice president in the Obama administration. How much dirt does Barack Hussein Obama have on Joe Biden? Hunter and his associates. Hunter, at the time, crack addict Hunter, and all of his shady business associates in and out of the White House 80 times over the course of 2 terms when Joe Biden was vice president, sure enough, just waltzing right into the White House. Says John Mayer, who claims to have served as the vice president of Hunter's former investment firm Rosemont Seneca from 2008 to 2017 on LinkedIn, had at least 17 recorded visits to the White House during that period. If Joe Biden, the big guy, if he's not involved at all, why is this guy, John Mayer, coming into the White House for 17 visits? Who's he meeting with? He's connected directly to Hunter and Rosemont Seneca. So what does he need to do in the White House? It says here, in October 2009, Mayer attended a vice presidential briefing and had a meeting with Danielle Boren, who was then an aide to Vice President Biden. Just a few weeks later, Mayer had another meeting with Nancy Orloff, who was then an executive assistant to Biden in the West Wing. The logs also show that in July 2013, Mayer had a meeting with Kellen Suber, another executive assistant to Vice President Biden in the West Wing, the outlet reported. Meanwhile, Anne Marie Person, another former assistant of Hunter Biden, visited the Obama White House on at least 5 occasions before leaving the firm in 2014 to join then Vice President Biden's staff. It's like all interchangeable. It's kind of like the deep state with Twitter. You know, whether you work at the DOJ or Twitter, doesn't matter. It's all the same. And it's the same with Hunter's the bag man. He's going around collecting the money, and he's a little bit resentful because the big guy, he's always got to get his cut, right? There's some disgusting content on that laptop, by the way. Hundreds and hundreds of crimes. Felonies, all of them. You think Jake Tapper cares at all about that? Do you think he's looking into it? Do you think he, what does he think about covering up the contents of that laptop for 18 months, which he did? Any $1.6 billion lawsuits aimed at CNN over that? There should be. Talks about another frequent visitor, Francis Fran Person. Fran would go on to visit the White House at least 7 times after he left his role there, and later became top executive at the Harvest Group, a D.C. affiliate of China's Harvest Century Group. It just goes on and on, doesn't it? The Biden crime family. I wonder when it'll be a crime to say they've committed crimes. No, can't say that. You just can't say. They're like the 2020 election. Everything is just perfect. When we come back, we'll conclude today's show with our Bible study segment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
I mentioned that example with Gideon. You can see it in Judges 7. We won't go through all of the detail here, but it's good review. I've used this before on the program. It says, "And the Eternal said to Gideon, 'The people that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands.' It says, 'Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, My own hand has saved me.'" God would rather work. My father brought this out recently in an editorial meeting, just the point that God would rather work with, you know, a few men and women of strong faith than to have hundreds or even thousands of lukewarm Christians. God has a lot to say about lukewarm Christians at the end of Revelation 3. And he also tells you very clearly what he thinks about that spiritual state. He spits them out of his mouth. He just wants to spew them out. Get out. I wish you were hot or cold. Compromise. That's the spirit of the age we're in. Just try to strike a balance. You know, try to cozy up to the radical left. Try to sit down with them. Try to reach, you know, meeting of the minds. They don't think that way. But boy, there's a lot of Republicans that do. Look at Bill Barr. I mean, he's pretty well a Democrat through and through now. Democrat Bill Barr. It's just so easy to compromise with your principles, with your beliefs, to try to have a meeting of the minds with the devil, to try to meet up with the devil. You can see why God throughout the Bible says that with respect to evil, look, no compromise. Shun it. Shun vain and profane babblings. Paul said it over and again in 1 and 2 Timothy. I'll talk about language and raising the standard there later this week if I have time. But just shun evil. Just turn away from evil and embrace righteousness, holiness, purity. With respect to warfare, spiritual warfare, God says you've got to have some courage. You've got to have some fight in you. You've got to stand firm against your adversary, against the devil. It says in the former prophet's book, many of these men, though they were going out to fight, weren't eager to do battle. They had a case of the slows, as Abraham Lincoln said, of his people and his generals during the Civil War. My father says, if you are not eager to fight, you will lose crucial battles. God is looking for people who are eager to do battle and to go on the offensive. If you're not eager to fight, you see, you're going to lose some crucial battles. You're going to lose out. Verse 5, it says, He brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that laps of the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, him shall you set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bows down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, and all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Eternal said to Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. It says, let all the other people go, every man into his place. You see, all the rest of them were just a little bit too lukewarm in this battle. They didn't have enough fight in them. They were the spirit of complacency, maybe fear, who knows what else they were wrestling with. It had set in, and God said, look, just send them back home. Let's go with the 300 and then let God fight for you. Let God lead the way. It says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11 that we need to grow up, spiritually speaking. And you know, Paul said, I guess I'll read it later. He said in Hebrews 5, you know, I've got so much more to say about Melchizedek, but you're dull of hearing. You've gone to sleep. This example in Judges 7 shows just how important it is for us to continue making progress and performing, producing good fruits, good works, and growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we're not making progress, if we're not growing, we're dying. I've said this before. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, I'll read it. It says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. We all need to grow up and mature and develop. This is that section in Hebrews 5, starting in verse 11. But if you go back and read, you know, from verse 4 on, then you get a little bit of the context. Here is this great high priest, Melchizedek, of the order, the rank of Melchizedek, our great high priest, Jesus Christ, the apostle of our calling, our advocate, our intercessor, our husband, our head. Paul said, he was writing to the Hebrew people. They didn't read through the middle part of Hebrews as we've been going through in class recently. And you see this Old Testament system, you know, the tabernacle, the way it was constructed, all the sacrifices of animals, the blood that just continually flowed, and all of that, as Paul says, it points to this one supreme sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And of course, all of the ritualistic washings pointed to the Spirit of God, the Spirit by which the living Christ, he now lives. The Spirit by which Jesus Christ lives in you, in me, in true Christians. You can look at Galatians 2 and verse 20. Romans 6, Romans 8. Here is this living Christ spoken of in Hebrews. Hebrews 5 and verse 11, Paul says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. We don't want to be dull of hearing. We don't want to get lazy or sluggish when it comes to our most important relationship, the relationship we have with our Maker, our Creator, the great God. The verse I read this morning, it's in chapter 10 of Hebrews, but it talks of our vocation, our profession. It says the same thing in chapter 3, I believe. This is our job, as I told our students. If you put God first in any endeavor in life, It's always, always going to be blessed. I've talked to young people about really setting their sights on going to God's college, and sometimes they may have other interests and so on, other pursuits, maybe some vocational skills and such. And I, you know, obviously, if they want to come here, you definitely want them to have a strong desire to really want to be at God's college. But I'll tell them in the general sense, look, anytime you set aside this over here or that over there, for a time even, maybe just a short time, and really get the focus on God first, really lay that spiritual foundation first, God's always going to bless that. Always. He wants to be right at the center of our affairs. Here's a case where people of God, true Christians, they had become dull of hearing. Verse 12 says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." See, they had to go back and familiarize themselves with Paul's help and guidance. They had to go back through the basics because they had slowed down, spiritually speaking. They had stopped running in the race. They forgot about the fact that God brings us into this, not so that we can just receive this precious truth for ourselves. We're here to be teachers. We're here to receive this training, this instruction, so that we can then go use it and give it to others. Use it in your daily life. Use it in your marriage and family. And then, of course, give it to others as God's family expands on out into the universe. It'll never end. The growth, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 brings that out. The growth, the expansion, spreading God's word, spreading God's family around the universe. What a calling. You don't want to be dull of hearing when you're studying about that future, that purpose, that plan. Verse 13 says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." See, these are people, those that are able to consume strong meat. I mean, they've had their senses exercised, as Paul says here. They've been using it. They've been studying it. They've been putting it into practice. And so they're prepared. They're prepared to receive the truth. And we've got to prepare ourselves to receive all that God has given us. And we ought to be teachers. And it's such a wonderful way of life. God's way of life is so practical, common sense. The physical family, God instituted it so that you'd have it there as a continual reminder and a teaching tool, an opportunity to really learn God's way of life. Whether you're young and you're preparing for marriage and family and you get married, and then, or if you're in my place or condition in life where your children are now off at college or beyond, you've brought them up with God's help in the way that they should go. So many valuable lessons, whether you're as a learning it as a child or understanding it more deeply as a new mother and father. God is a family. That's his purpose and plan. And so many people have just lost interest in it. As I said in class today, I mean, all you need to do to lose the Spirit of God is to neglect this way of life, to neglect this relationship for a period of time. Maybe the period is slowly on a downward decline for years and years and years. Maybe it can happen more abruptly with some. Everyone's different. But God says, look, we've got to keep that fire. We've got to keep that hunger. We've got to keep that desire to really go to battle for God. It's got to be strong. To use the analogy Paul has in Hebrews 5, we've got to really maintain a hunger for God's word, for God's way of life, because we're going to be teaching this to all of mankind. Just in a few short years, when you think of it, Christ's return, the wonderful world tomorrow begins. And as I said a moment ago, I mean, that vision extends even on out into the universe. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.